Today we're going to talk about a mission statement. And as you look at your bulletin on the back of it, I put a short outline. Here's the conclusions we came to last week. For those of you who weren't here, we came to the conclusion that we could have a tagline and that we could have a vision statement. And we came up with this tagline, loving God, loving people, and a subtitle of come as you are and grow with us. Now, it's comical. I read this book this week, and it's about as long as the title, It. And in it, Craig was writing, define your vision. Many churches today are visionless. They're drifting. If you ask the church leaders, what's your ministry about? They'll give you a predictable response. Quote, we're about loving God and loving people. And if you had been here last week, my original proposal was, we love God, we love people. Ooh. And then in our discussion group, we shortened it to loving people, loving God, loving people. Some of the other taglines that people come up with that Craig thinks are kind of generic. We're about reaching up and reaching out. Ever heard that one? We're about preaching God's truth and setting people free. We're about teaching eternal truths for in contemporary ways. We exist to know Jesus and make Him known. How many of you have seen that mission statement or vision statement on doors? So, Bishop Whipple, his next big conference is in Atlanta. He's going to the Drive Conference. And I learned several things about our new bishop. It's the first time I really got to spend any more time with him than shaking hands when he won the job. He was the only one on the ballot, and I teased him about that when we were together. It was kind of a, you know, were you excited and surprised when you won? And he said, you know, our denomination has been around since 1817, and it's the first time in our history that there's only been one man's name on the ballot. And he said, I see that as God's providential hand saying, you're the man for the job. And he's going to the Drive Conference, and Andy subtitles that, because we're not there yet. Drive, because we're not there yet. When you look at our tagline, our vision statement, our mission statement, all of it's subject to change. Why? Because we aren't there yet. And I learned that Mr. Whipple is kind of like some of the girls in our church. We have girls in our church that are Beth Moore groupies. He's an Andy Stanley groupie. He's really infatuated with North Point, what they do. Anyway, so this is our point of reference. This is where we're starting at. There's nothing in concrete, but that's where we're starting. And we came up with this vision statement, to see the life of Jesus revealed and transform saints. So, did everybody read that? Okay, now close your eyes. And how many of you can remember it? Raise your hand. No one's looking around. Everybody's got their eyes closed. How many of you can remember it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 40. Maybe it's not quite where we want it to be yet. You know, it's not done. I think that's the heart of what I want to see happen, is that we see Jesus in people's lives that are changed. So, what's our mission as a church? What's our mission? Why do we do the things at church that we do? Why do we do this stuff? Here are some examples of mission statements I had taken from the United Brethren Church's website. You can go to ub.org, and there's a thing on there where it has church websites, and it's fun to kind of look at some of the other websites that people are doing in our church. Here's one from the Greencastle Uttenberg. That's one of the guys that founded our church, lived on that street. That's his name. It's a United Brethren Church, and it has this. A church that cares. Now, how cool is that? Could you remember that one? A church that cares. Well, that's cute. But you'll notice that it's got all those periods in there. Continue connecting people with the one true God. And I couldn't make the color different when I cut and pasted it. Affirming each person in love. Reaching non-believers for Jesus Christ. Equipping followers for ministry. Sending servants. All of that's cool. You know, that's what CARES stands for. Connecting, affirming, reaching, equipping, sending. That's pretty cool. Now, this one's really fun. United Brethren in Christ from Kilburn Avenue in Rockford. And I'd be interested in your first impressions when you go look at Barry's website. Barry did a picture of himself with his cam on his computer. And my first response when I opened that is, whoa. It's just kind of a weird photo. It didn't give me a peace that passes all understanding feeling when I first saw it. And after spending, 3 days with Barry, there's more of that that goes on. Here's the purpose statement that he wrote, because when he came to Rockford, he did a lot of the same things that I wanted to do with you. Wanted to start a website, threw everybody off because he wanted to put a projector in and use PowerPoint, which he doesn't use very often. But here's their purpose statement. To glorify the Holy Trinity, preach and be a witness of the good news of Christ. Equip people of our church to minister to the hurts and needs of others. The ultimate goal, winning people to Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that other than it's kind of wordy. Here's a United Brethren in Christ Church in Holly. Last week I said Holy, and Julie said there'd have to be less consonants. Our church, we can sum it up in three words, describes our whole mission, purpose, and a method of discipleship. Love, learn, live. Which was one of the ones last week when we had the test that people could remember. Love, learn, live. See, it's simple. King Street Church in Pennsylvania, that's the largest United Brethren church. Pat Jones was the pastor there before he went to work in headquarters. King Street exists to reach people at their level of spiritual interest and lead them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we talked last week when they have that fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. They are Willow Creek church-oriented people. That's a Willow Creek wannabe phrase. That's 23 words. How many of you know where Colwood, Michigan is? Right down here in the thumb, Clarence does. That's the church that Mr. Whipple was pastoring when he became our bishop. And when you look at their website, there's this gray granite-looking surface. And then in kind of a way like that, it has these four words. Engage, enlarge, endure, enable. Kind of neat. It's a very cool presentation when you look at it. It's cut into granite. Is the vision visual that you get, and it's kind of solid, stable. But you can read into anything you want into those four words, but it kind of gives you an idea about them, doesn't it? There's only four words. I had to put this in. Next Saturday, they're having a helicopter Easter egg drop. Now, tell me that way. Doesn't sound like fun. Right? How many of you would like to go to a helicopter Easter egg drop? Wouldn't it? You know, having been one of those soldier boys who... We did these surprise attacks in Huey helicopters, which are the noisiest buggers you can ever imagine. You put 80 of these things in the air, and it just, we're sneaking up on them. But you hear a helicopter coming miles away, and you pray for the people that are on it on their way to a hospital, right? Anytime you hear a hot rod helicopter around here, somebody's getting an airlift to a major hospital because they're really in bad shape. Can you imagine having hearing a helicopter rolling in and then getting to be one of the people up there with the sacks full of Easter eggs that you dump out and the mayhem on the ground? I'd like to be in the helicopter dumping the eggs because I don't want to get traveled. But what a cool idea, you know? I think it's neat. So I wrote a document in 2007 that had a mission statement in it. And it said this: then Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It always gets me tangled up because I wonder who surely is. But The mission was to release the life of Jesus Christ in discipleship, evangelism, and baptism. I don't know why I didn't say evangelism, baptism, then discipleship, but that's the way I wrote it back then. Our strategy on that document was, it was He, Jesus, who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed about back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. That's Ephesians 4. And our strategy was to relieve the life of Jesus in equipped, unified, mature saints. So in 2007, our mission was to release the life of Jesus in discipleship, evangelism, and baptism. And our strategy was to relieve the life of Jesus in equipped, unified, mature saints. So it seems honest to say when I wrote that I was trying to release this life that Jesus put into us when I wrote that. Makes sense, doesn't it? I still think that's the core of what I want to see happen. Those of us who are born again, that we surrender our lives in such a way that we allow the Holy Spirit to be the dominating force in our life. And it flows through us and impacts other people. So if I were to rewrite that earlier this week, it'd read something like this. Our mission is to experience the love and the power of the Holy Spirit, then express the life of Jesus, and glorify our Father. And I still think that Matthew 28 is a key verse for us to base our mission on. And our strategy is to let the life of Jesus Christ be released through equipped, mature saints who have an every member mindset in their ministry. So that's the way I put it onto your bulletin, and that's what I was thinking earlier this week. And okay, that's what I had done. And then what happened to me is catalyst one day. And Bishop Whipple paid for the other three United Brethren pastors in Illinois to have a really nice hotel room. When I got into this hotel room, I called Julie and I said, oh, I should have brought you so you could just lay around here. It's nice. And when we were checking in, I said, are our rooms together? And she says, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Whipple wanted each one of you to have a king-size bed, so I had to spread you all through the hotel. And I looked at Barry, and Barry looked at me, and he said, that's a big bed, you know. But we went to hear these two guys. This is Andy Stanley. You might have heard of his daddy. And he worked in his daddy's church for a while. And this guy you probably never heard before, but his name is Craig Guthrushell, and Craig wrote the It book. Craig was honored this year that his church is the most innovative church in the United States of America, according to those people who do things like that. And he wanted, both of these guys met their wives on blind dates, and Craig's friend told the girl that he was going on the blind date, he looks like Tom Cruise. Does he look like Tom Cruise? A little bit. He showed up and the lady was expecting Tom Cruise and her first response was, oh. These two guys had a ball. Within the first few minutes that Craig was on stage, you know, he's introducing himself and he said, you know, my wife and I have six kids. And there was sort of a little gasp in there. Six kids. He says, and then he went into this comedy monologue thing. Yeah, she just can't keep off of me. And you've all heard these cute little jokes that girls have that they, when they talk about sexual relationships, you know, well, honey, can't we just cuddle tonight instead of all of... And so he took all of those cute little cultural sayings and reversed them. And it just, this big, strong, handsome guy's doing all... And he had the whole audience rolling in laughter. And talk about loosening up. I mean, there's not much, you know, a guy can do in an auditorium of 27 pastors is to talk about sex right up front, you know. But it was hilarious. And they picked on each other all day long, had a great time. But what happened was it kind of rattled my thinking a little bit. And I guess after Bishop spent the money for us to go to that conference, it would be disappointing if it didn't rattle my thinking a little bit. Well, I had, up until the slide you're looking at, done and actually reviewed it Wednesday in my hotel room before I went to meet Mr. Whipple for the first time. But now I'm really questioning how I say what we say. Now, this is North Point Ministries. This is Andy Stanley's church. And here's their vision statement. To create a church that unchurched people would want to attend. To create a church that unchurched people would want to attend. Now, everybody close your eyes. How many of you can raise your hand and say you remember what that is? Yeah. 90%+ of you. That's what I want our vision statement to do. You read it once and you say, wow, wouldn't that really be nice to make a church where people who don't go to church now have no interest in going to church. If they went there once, they'd say, man, I want to go back. These guys have helicopters flying in and dropping stuff on you. And, you know, they do things a whole bunch different. Barry and I were having coffee at the coffee shop at Willow Creek. When Julie and I were there last time, they had a Starbucks coffee shop. Well, they don't have Starbucks anymore. We still have Starbucks in the back. But they have Mr. B's because of some of the ethical and moral things that Starbucks represent. They can't have it there. But they have a full-blown coffee shop. And you go to church this morning, and you can go buy a caramel latte for $3.10. And you can sit in the lounge and watch church on the, you know, the 20-foot square television screens. So, but you can sit there and have coffee and watch it on TV if you can't get into the 7,500 square foot adult auditorium. I got to go in there after lunch and walk around and look around. I couldn't resist going down and jumping up on stage. And there's a whole bunch of preachers and pastors and youth leaders and stuff in there. Nobody else jumped up on stage and wanted to look what that looked like from that perspective. But you could take our church, pick it up with a crane, set it on stage, and Clarence, you could have left a cross on top of the steeple. It wouldn't have hit, and we could put two of them. And that's in front of the curtains, not behind the curtains, in front of the, and North Point isn't that big, but it's like that. I mean, the vision that these guys have to build a church that unchurched people want to go to is cool. Their mission is, we want to see everybody in a small group. I don't have to ask you to close your eyes. Could you remember? That's our mission. We want everybody in a small group. That's what we want to accomplish. Now, what, you know, they write their own curriculum, so what they do, and they're, you know, and here's Life Church TV. This is Craig's church. Our passion is to see lives change. Our desire is to maximize the effectiveness of the resources which God has entrusted us. Now, he said we won't use the word vision and we won't use the word mission, but this is our vision statement. Our passion is to see life change, which is similar to what I wrote It's just not so darn churchy. Right? Now, we don't have a lot of resources that God's entrusted us. I mean, we got this place and we got a... I was telling my girls at home, hey, you know, we could have a multi-site church like those guys. We already got two churches. I got one in Adeline and one here. We could have a multi-site church. Beam me in there, Gotti. You know, can you imagine a big screen TV and a church that hasn't been changed in 150 years? How cool would that be? Sitting in those straight up little pews where the girls got to sit on one side and the boys got to sit on another and watching church on a big LED screen TV. How cool would that be? Anyway, could you remember these? See, that's what I want. I just haven't been able to drive us there yet. But that's what I want. I want something when you look at our vision statement, you say, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And you can remember it. Right? So, Craig did I wrote mine in 2007. He has a video that's really cool to watch. 2007, No Guts, No Glory for God. And it's all about radical change in the church. Radically changing what we do to embrace and impact our culture for Christ. And I watched it and I said, and I'm not there yet, let alone 2007. So, is our focus, when you look at our tagline, when you look at our vision statement, when you look at our mission statement, when you look at the strategy at which we want to accomplish that, is it internal focused or external focused? This morning when I was having coffee with the Lord, I realized that when people come to church one Sunday a year at Easter, and then I decide not to have fellowship and food and fun afterwards because I want to go have lunch with my family, I got this one shot at these people's lives, but I thought it was more important to go have lunch with my family than to spend time having fun with them. Now you tell me, internal focus or external focus? Internal. Now to use some of the things of the world, that just sucks. When I thought of that, I'm going to try not to cry now, but I did then. Because I know that if I lead you internally focused, guess what? You'll follow. When they first asked me about becoming a preacher boy in your denomination, I sat down with the bishop at that time, and I said, it sure looks to me like all of your churches are looking at their belly buttons. They've become all internal focused, and they're taking care of themselves, and they've lost the tears and the passion for those people who are dying, going to hell out there, and they're just having a nice church time. And they're in their families, they're safe in church, and they're writing all these beautiful disciplines of how we live in a church and how we protect what we believe. And he said, you're right. And he hung his head and he said, you know, and it's my job to change that. And I don't know how. That bishop thought our denomination was dead. Wanted us to give it all up, fold it up our tents, and become a part of the Mission Alliance Church. Give up being United Brethren. It's too hard. We can't do it. I can't figure out how to do it. I can't figure out how to change it. I can't figure out how to turn it around, so we should just quit. You know? And we vote them and send them in our ballot, and I said, we ain't quitting. We think what we started with was really good. Now, it's off base, but we're not ready to give it up. And then Ron Ramsey came along, the man of the hour, and said, what we got to do is we got to get back to Matthew 28. We got to get back to introducing people to Christ. We got to get back to our love for them. We got to get back to discipling people who aren't in our churches yet. And now we've got a bishop who he knows how to put the wheels onto that thing and make it move. He's a really smart guy. And he said, you know, Ramsey took a sinking ship and got it upright. And now my job is to put wind in the sails and get it moving forward. And I want to be about something in my one life that has an impact for Jesus Christ. I don't want to build a cozy little community where we got our own little country club and we come here and we get together and we hang out and we have a good time and our kids are safe and that's a part of it, but I want it to be focused on them. So, is our vision or our passion, is when you look at our stuff that I wrote, does it look like it's for them or does it look like it's for us? And I really need your help in doing that. Now, here's the truth. Jesus came, He entered on Palm Sunday as a king, He suffered and He died to be our Savior. And He rose again from the dead, and we're going to celebrate that on Easter. So why? Why are we going to celebrate that? I mean, seriously. And what does Jesus want us to do with that truth? Those two questions haunt me, because I don't exactly know how to do it, but I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready to give up. I'm not ready to take the wheels off of the thing. I want to oil them and get it running and get it going in the right way. And I want our church to be a place that if three new people show up, they want to come back again. Because they sense the Spirit of God's at work among us. And even though they know the pastor's all goofed up and he can't spell right, he doesn't talk well, and he sings terrible, but the guy loves God, and he wants other people to know Him and love Him too. And the people around here love God, and they want people to know Him. How do we put that into a short, concise three or four words that when people look at that little handout dealy that I'm trying to develop, they say, oh, I could remember that. You want to talk about our church. How can we say that? Help, Lord. Help, folks.